What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four. Not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Fours Up podcast, and it is Friday, October 16th, and we are just a day away from kicking Pitt's ass, getting back on track. It's your boy Marsh, and as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, it's Friday. How are we feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling good. I am very beaten down from sports this last week. It was a very tough sports weekend, and I haven't recovered yet. But who knows?
Yeah, you know? I mean, we got a big game tomorrow.
Yeah,
I know Pitt's 3-2, but it feels like we need this game. It's a big bounce back game. Are you confident heading into tomorrow? We got a 10 a.m. kickoff over here in Utah.
Relatively confident. I think that we should beat them. I think we're a more talented team than Pitt. By all accounts, we should win this game. However, Pitt kind of plays to our weaknesses just like Clemson did. I mean, obviously, they aren't Clemson. But that was a blowout. So there's a lot of, you know, there's margin for error if you're running that game plan that Clemson did. So I guess we'll just see how well Pitt executes and if our talent is enough to overcome our weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm relatively confident that I'm predicting 34-17 tomorrow. So I think that's pretty fair. Pitt's lost the last two games. So I don't know, man.
That's kind of where I'm at. I had 31-17. So, you know, we're still in that same range.
Okay.
Yeah. But before we get into it, I just wanted to mention, you heard our ad spot earlier for our guy AB, Stickers by AB. Make sure you're using the Fours Up promo code, which will give you 15% off. So just the number four and then SUP in the promo code slot get you 15% off on those cool stickers, man. So shout out to AB and as always, we love our guys at the Tank Brewery as well. So you ready for us to get our guests on? We have is he a writer for the Pittsburgh Panthers?
Yeah, so he covers Pitt for the Cardiac Hill. It's the SB Nation site for Pitt. Okay, so
cool.
I'm excited to talk to him.
Awesome. I'll dial him in.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Colin, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Pretty good. So we now welcome on Colin. He covers Pitt for the Cardiac Hill. That's the SB Nation site over there. What's going on, man? You ready for tomorrow?
As ready as I'm going to be, in all honesty. Kind of bummed out about the past couple weeks, but there's nothing you can do about it at this point when you're a team that should be 5-0, but 2 points separated.
Yeah, I want to start off with that because coming into the year, Pitt is a great defensive team. You brought back Kenny Pickett for what seems like his ninth year of eligibility.
He's
but
like 31 now, isn't he?
He's so right. old. I swear to God, he's been there forever. So yeah, I mean,
he's the guy that busted our 10-0 season a few years back with Mark Richt. Goodness.
He was like 10 at the time.
Sure feels like it, right?
Yeah. For real. Okay, so you guys started out, 3-0. You're ranked in the top 20, but you've dropped the last two games. What's going on at Pitt? What do you think has been the cause for your guys' last two losses?
In all honesty, if I'm more than anything, I think it's just been offensive blunders more than anything, not taking all of your scenarios to be able to go down the field and score. In all honesty, because I was reading an article earlier, and our defense is one of the best down for down defenses in the league. We rank number one in the ACC, number four in the country. So our defense has no problems. I just genuinely think that it's been just missed opportunities by the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. I mean, you guys held Louisville to just 20 points when you guys beat them. They scored 34 on us. But last week against Boston College, I know the game went into overtime, but I can't quite remember how it ended. And I know you guys lost 31-30. So how did that end? Did you miss an extra point or what?
In all honesty, I don't remember off the top of my head.
It's interesting because the last 2 weeks you guys have lost by 1 point each game. And so you're in each game and you really should be 5-0 from what it seems like. And obviously, you know, Pitt is a defensive minded team. We all know that going in. We've known that about you guys the last few years. What's the big strong point for Pitt's defense?
Honestly, I just feel overall it's just there's one singular player that comes out and makes a big name for themselves. There's not that Aaron Donald or anybody like that on that defense, I think. I think it's everybody just coming together and doing each part individually to the best that they can, and the sum of everything being greater than the offense of the other team.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I know that you guys have a very, very strong, defensive line. That's a very well-known fact about the Panthers. So let's move over to the offense because, I mean, I feel like Miami fans are pretty – I mean, they know that you guys have a strong defense. And so who are the 1 to 2 players on Pitt's offense that the Canes defense needs to be ready for?
Well, I know you guys have been ragging on him, but I got to say Kenny Pickett because I was just talking to a guy the other day at school and said, I don't care what anybody says, he's not going to be the greatest starter in the NFL ever, but he's going to be a solid backup, 100%.
Yeah. Go ahead.
To me, the other thing is just the run game. Like, we've always had a consistent run game, no matter who we've had. The past few years, we've had a few guys just platoon in, and that's really, I think, what it is. You just have to have those two parts on point to win a game. And that way, when your offense is going as strong as it should be, the defense doesn't know what to expect, and you can do either or, and it works just as well.
Yeah, and so I'm actually not anti-Kenny Pickett at all. You know, I was mostly just commenting it feels like he's been there forever. But I agree with you. I think he'll get a shot at the NFL, and here's my worry when it comes to your guys' offense versus the Miami defense is we've been very, very soft in the middle of the field. We give up a lot of chunk plays, especially on the ground, because our linebackers, I mean, sometimes I don't even know if they're playing because of how bad they are.
Sound like the Steelers safeties sometimes.
Yeah, right. So what I'm really afraid of is you guys coming out and punching us in the mouth, establishing the run. And then once that happens, the play action, I feel like Kenny Pickett could really kill us, you know, when we've committed to, you know, trying to stop the run, and you guys open up the play action, like it could be bad news for us because our corners are okay. You know, we have great safeties and really good defensive ends, but other than that, our defense is kind of suspect this year. So we'll see what happens there. You know, if I'm Miami, like you're just trying to get to 30 points on offense, you know, hopefully, like, I'd feel pretty good about our defense keeping you guys under 30, but it just depends if we're going to be able to score that much on your defense. So
we'll see, and that's the thing I will say, except for Austin Prey the very first week. Every other defense has, and it's just a matter of can you guys out-gunsling us or outrun us? And that's the biggest question.
Yeah.
And but I got to be honest, if we don't beat you guys this week, I sure as heck don't see us beating Notre Dame. I just don't see it. Yeah. And so it's either going to be Florida State or Georgia Tech after that to get another win. So we got to either keep it going to soften that blow next week, or yeah, I feel like it's going to be on a downhill slide, and that's just not what we need.
You guys can definitely beat Florida State.
I'm not worried about that. It's just, I already know that it's going to be – it's Notre Dame, unless something crazy happens, we don't have a shot, and I'm just being honest there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. Hey, it's good to be honest.
Yeah. So if you had to formulate a game plan to beat the Pitt defense, like if you're the offensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes, what kind of game plan are you drawing up? I mean, we know that you guys have a really great defense, but what's a way that we could, that we could game plan the right way to get to that 30 number? Because I think 30 is going to be a really big number for this game.
Honestly, the way I look at it is, and because I know like you guys were saying with your offense, you'll throw, there'll be some chunk plays in the middle. I say definitely do some of that because you might have a shot. But in the beginning, to me, do this kind of short plays right behind the line of scrimmage or right at it, and then kind of let your whoever catches it go. And just see what happens at that point, because you're more likely to get some extra yardage out of that, at least I think, than to throw it right down the middle and see what, and then have two defenders come in at that point or throw it deep. Mm-hmm. And at that case, if none of that works, at least try and run the ball and see what you can do. Yeah. I know our defensive line is great, but you can always try and find a hole.
Yeah. Do you guys have more success with your defensive line against the run or the pass?
Honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know. I would imagine the pass, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that. I know that the secondary is probably not as strong as your guys' defensive line. But I want to ask you in general, heading into tomorrow, are you confident or because for Miami, you know, this is a bounce back game. We got humbled last week against Clemson, and a lot of Canes fans are a little concerned heading into tomorrow, just because in past years, like coming off a loss, Miami has failed to rebound it and come back with a win. So are you confident heading into the game as a Pitt fan?
I am personally, just because you guys are kind of, you're down on your luck and you're a little, I feel like you're a little, not stressed out, but you're just trying to come back from a big loss that you had last week against the best team in the nation. And so my biggest thing is I don't want Pitt to go out there, get a lead, and then just think they can coast the rest of the game, because I feel like that's what we've done here recently. So we've gotten out to some big leads and then just let it coast, and then the other teams have come back. And that's exactly what happened last week against Boston College. We should have had that game in the bag. There's no reason we should have lost that.
Yeah, Boston College has been a weird team this year. Do you remember the game – the Miami Pitt game last year, by chance? We won on a last second touchdown.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that. I was thinking either that one or 2018, because 2018 we won the Coastal and you guys completely destroyed us.
Yeah, that was a very ugly game. I remember, like, no team could get offensive yards.
So last year, that was the one that Jaron came in and threw that last second touchdown, right?
Yeah, and we came in at 3-4 off a bad loss, and I had zero hope we could go into Pitt and win. So I'm sorry to bring that up.
Wow, well, that says a lot for you guys, because no offense, but normally Miami fans are overconfident if it comes to anything.
Oh, I know. Oh, we know. We're the rare ones that are a little bit more non-delusional, I want to say.
Well, that's a good thing, I will say, because for us, I know most people – I got even people in my own family who were like, why the heck do you root for Pitt? And I'm just like, I really can't tell you. It's just kind of there. And so, like, when we got off to this great lead, I went, wow, this is what I wanted when we actually won the Coastal. And then we lost these past two games, and I said, there's no reason we shouldn't be 5-0. So we got to keep it going, because at least if we have that, we should probably end the season with the three losses, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be a strange game. This is off topic, but I'm assuming you're a Steelers fan, correct?
Very much. I'm from Pittsburgh, so yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm a Cowboys fan, so whatever.
Oh no.
But so Jordan and I were big gambling guys. We like to bet on football. So we were talking about the Steelers Browns on Sunday.
Okay.
Who should I take?
Honestly, I say take Pittsburgh just in the defense alone.
Okay. Yeah, I think
that's not just being a homer and saying our defense, because I cover the Browns for another website that I write for, and they've got a good team. They 100% have a good team, and it's great to see that rivalry come back into prominence.
Uh-huh.
But our defense is killer.
And
I've
got
to be honest.
Yeah, I would still have a hard time betting on Baker Mayfield right now. I mean, I know they're playing great. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I mean, here's the thing. Here's the counterpoint to that. Like, if I had to bet on that game, I would bet Pittsburgh because of Baker Mayfield. Like, you know,
and that's also my point, because I can see somebody like Minka going up, catching a pass that Baker just errantly throws and isn't. You can't throw up all the time and expect Jarvis or Odell to always catch it, and you've lost some key guys, even in that defense. Like, I look at Greedy Williams for Cleveland.
Yeah.
The guy's been down for a while, and it's just, I don't know if you can come back from some things like that.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh, though, does kind of concern me. Like, I'm not, like, when I do my power rankings, I definitely have them in the top six, but I'm not overly convinced that they're an elite team in the NFL this year, or even a top team. I don't know. I feel like they're going to have trouble establishing the run in a lot of games. And then, I mean, Big Ben is kind of, he's held together by bubble gum and paper clips at this point. So
I won't disagree with you there. And I definitely agree with you on the run, because we've got that kind of running back by committee, which is great at points. But like when Le'Veon got released from the Jets, I said, sweet. I know everybody else in Pittsburgh is going to say, hell no. But bring this guy back in and have a legit running back come in, because we need it. And my other biggest thing is, you've got Juju as the number one wide receiver. And you've got a guy like Deontay Johnson who's been killing it.
Yeah, he's great.
For us. But he's just been having these strains. Like,
that caught like four touchdowns last week.
Chase Claypool, he's the other guy. Because I say, if Deontay doesn't become a number two, Chase instantly does.
Yeah.
Because I know everybody's looking at that, and I was seeing after last week's game, everybody was like, oh, it's going to be hilarious when all these people pick him up on fantasy and he catches like one pass. This guy is going to make some catches. You're not going to see him get four touchdowns a game. That's just asinine. But
Well, as a guy who has Juju on his
Don't worry, I do too.
So he's on my team that I care the most about. I don't need to be worried about Juju on there.
I don't. I mean, you're going to obviously have the double coverage and everything.
Yeah.
But if you have any of the other guys, like I say, I don't know if you have any wide receivers who are on a bye or could go into your RB or WRB position, maybe pick up a Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool's open after last week. Throw him in there, because you're going to have more catches go to those guys, I feel like, this week.
Crazy as it sounds, I'm actually so loaded at wide receiver that that Juju is probably my third or fourth best. So he's,
who else do you have?
So I have Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, Robbie Anderson, Juju, and Jameson Crowder.
Well, and you gotta watch out for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I'm kind of shopping Michael Thomas right now, so
good luck with that right now.
I know it sucks, but anyways, not to bore people with my fantasy lineups, but
who's your all-time favorite Steeler?
Me, I'm partial. I like Hines Ward a lot. That's
I'm glad I grew up in. You know what? I don't take it personally, but I hate the Steelers just because I'm a Cowboys fan. I wasn't alive.
Hey, I hate the Cowboys because I'm a Steelers like fan. That, it's fine. But,
Hines Ward is one of my all-time favorite players. Yeah. That dude was a badass.
Yeah.
Well, and everybody, a lot of people now are ragging on him. They're like, I don't know if he's Hall of Fame material. And I'm like, did you miss the games that this guy had, even going back from when he played in Georgia? Like, it was nuts to see. And now, like, because I live in Georgia now, and everybody is still, holy shit, can you believe what Hines has done overall?
Yeah.
It's, and to where he went in the NFL, it's crazy to think. But then, like, I mean, I love looking back even on the teams that I never saw, like the 70s Steelers. I've got a Jack Ham jersey hanging in my room that's signed by the guy, because I'm like, who cannot appreciate that greatness?
Yeah.
Jack Ham's the greatest outside linebacker to ever play the game, and Hines Ward is the greatest blocking receiver ever to play the game. That
For
dude,
sure.
That dude was like a linebacker playing wide receiver.
Well, and then I know Ben's getting up there, and I say Ben maybe has a couple years left if that elbow can stay good.
That dude, I hate Ben Roth. I hate him.
But why? That's my biggest
question. I hate him because he's you fat, have like
dude. Four, he's like yeah. he's fat, and he's like been there for 25 years, and I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Well, so I can't stand Ben because when my team plays him, like you have like four defensive linemen bounce off of him every freaking down, and then he still like pulls out a pass to Heath Miller out of nowhere.
And, that's what know, I was just about to say. That Santonio helps comes back shrug guys off.
Catches. Yeah, and then also like my earliest Ben Roethlisberger memory is I was in like third grade, like walking. I still remember walking through the halls of my elementary school, being like. Yeah, can you believe Big Ben? Like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't lost a game as a rookie. Ugh. And I'm 27 now, so that just shows you how old he is. Like, so he's been in the league forever. Oh, for sure.
He's the only – I think it's him and Phillip are the only ones left from that class, if I'm not wrong.
And Phillip Rivers
at least quarterback-wise.
Yeah. And like, that first – I know that we're going off on a tangent, but it's fun. That first Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl y'all won against the Seahawks with Big Ben, he just played so awful, and you guys still managed to win because of, like, Willie Parker and Antoine Randall-L, like, throwing a reverse touchdown pass, which was a better pass than Ben threw that entire game.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But it's still crazy to think that how lopsided that score was, even with him having such an off game.
Yeah.
That
was crazy.
I think the refs helped you out a little bit in that game.
Maybe. Too. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I mean, I even look at like the 08 Super Bowl. And what's funny was back then I wasn't as huge of a sports fan as I am now. And I can remember like my parents saying, hey, you guys need to come in and watch the Super Bowl. And I was like, ah, great. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, man, if I could pay to have that back and actually be excited for that, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
that 08 team was a very good team. I'll admit it.
And everybody still to this day in Pittsburgh, they all say Mike Tomlin hasn't done anything. I'm ready for him to be fired because the only Super Bowl he won with Bill Cowher's team. And I won't disagree. That was a lot of Bill Cowher's team. But I'm ready to see that man take this team on his back and actually win a Super Bowl. And here, sooner or later, he's got to do it. That's the thing.
I mean, I had to suffer with Jason Garrett for 10 years, so I would personally take Mike Tomlin in a heartbeat.
Now you've got Mike McCarthy, and he's not much better. I mean, have you seen you guys win? You only beat the Falcons, and that's not saying much.
Yeah, I wasn't a McCarthy guy in Green Bay, actually. So I watch a lot of Packers football because all my family are all Packers fans. So I thought that was a dumb hire, to be honest.
Yeah, but. He's like a fatter Jason Garrett.
I wish – we'll see. Everybody was like, oh, he needs to go to Cleveland. He needs to go to Cleveland. And I said, I still to this day, I like Stefanski as the Browns head coach, but I still think McDaniels would have been a better pick.
Yeah. No, you can't hire a Belichick assistant.
Have you seen what the Dolphins have done?
Yeah, I mean, whatever, but – Okay, so let's go back to Miami. I want to talk a little bit more about Kenny Pickett. The guy's like 30.
Sure feels like.
Because I remember he's a pretty mobile quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he still continuing in those running ways?
As far as I've seen, he has been. I know it hasn't been his greatest season, and to me, my first season really coming in and paying attention was that last – I want to say it was against you guys. And that last – it was the Thanksgiving game where they just pulled it out. And it was kind of crazy. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened that day, but
– all I know is that was like literally the first one I've sat down and watched and I said, oh, my God, how do we do that? And it just – that's really what rallied me behind this team because I've seen them do it against them. And then you go into Clemson the next year. And just pull that out. And I said, what? Yeah. I mean, do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so if you wouldn't mind giving us a score prediction before we wrap things up here.
Close, in all honesty. I'm going to say Pitt inches it out 30-28.
Okay.
It's going to be close, and yeah. That's why I won't be surprised if it's in that field yeah. goal range. I know everybody's saying Pitt's the underdog, yeah. but if Pitt can keep Miami down
yeah.
and just kind of get that score up and not get lazy, they have a chance to pull yeah. it out, but it's a matter of
– No, like, no disrespect to Pitt or anything, but if they score 30 points on our defense, I will – I will, like, march down to Miami and raise hell.
Well, if you do, please send videos.
Yeah. I just yeah. – I like I'm just so much more concerned about your guys' defense.
Yeah. I think – so.
What do you guys think the score is going to be then?
So Marsh and I were talking about this before we called you in, and we – our biggest worry, at least for me, my biggest worry is that Pitt does a lot of the things well that teams like Clemson have exploited us with, and you know, we beat UAB pretty handily to start the season, but – like you could see where our weaknesses were in that game. You know, UAB did a good job of exposing our weaknesses. And so that worries me. However, I really like I feel confident in how talented this team is because like we have some really, really good dudes on our roster right now. You know, Derek King is one of the most explosive players in college football, and we have some elite players on defense. So I mean, to me, I view this, and I don't mean this as disrespect to Pitt, but I view this as more of like Miami versus themselves mentally.
And I 100% do too. I don't see – that's why I won't be surprised to see Pitt inch it out just because I could see Miami making some sort of a blunder most likely yeah. on defense.
Yeah. So I have it at 31-17 for Miami. I'm hoping that this is finally the year that we kind of got our pants pulled down against Clemson last week. And historically, we don't bounce back from that. Like we get down on ourselves. We have two or three game losing streaks. I'm thinking that this is the year that changes. So,
okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I could be wrong. You know, if we come out flat, we're in trouble. So. But I'm hoping it's 31-17 for Miami. But, you know, I'm expecting a good game from Pitt.
Now, wait, I just got to ask this because I didn't hear anything from last week. Were you guys expecting to get killed by Clemson? Or were you expecting it to be close and ink out a win or what?
So I'll be completely honest. So I'm usually like the honest Canes fan. I'll call it out when it is, like when I don't think we're going to win. As when the week started, I'm like, yeah, Clemson's probably going to roll us. But then as the week went on, there was like this – confidence in Miami fans, and I got caught up in it, and I actually predicted a 4-point win, yeah. And but it wasn't really like I was buying it. I just said it just to go along with everyone, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, we're gonna do it. Yeah. And then like once the first drive happened, I'm like,
your heart ripped out.
Yeah. Yeah. Then once the first drive happened, I'm like, yeah, we may lose by 40.
Yeah. So I had us as losing by 11, but I expected us to show out better. You know, I expected
the optics to be at least realistic.
Yeah, I expected the optics to be better and like, you know, where we could walk away from the game and be like, wow, we are, you know, like we were hanging with Clemson. It was close until the fourth quarter. Like we're almost there. Maybe we can compete for a playoff spot next season. But I mean, dude, we just got our pants pulled down. It was really embarrassing.
Well, but here's the thing, because even for me, I went into the game for you guys and I said, yeah, Clemson's probably going to pull this out, but it's nice to at least see two higher ranked teams go at it. And you expect the best team in the nation, if they really are, to go in and win even against a number 7 ranked team. That's just what you expect. Just like they should roll Georgia Tech tomorrow.
Yeah.
But to me, at least you guys aren't Florida Gator fans because that was bad.
No, I loved it last week when they freaking played A&M.
Here around Georgia, because I live not far from Athens, everybody was going ballistic, loving it.
Yeah. If I woke up one day and I was like a Florida Gators fan for some reason, I'd just end it all.
Yeah, I don't blame you. My older brother's a Penn State fan, and when he moved down here last year, he literally said to me, I can't believe, because my other college team's Ohio State. My wife's
from there. Oh, God. Get the hell out of here, bro.
He goes, wow, I can't believe my brother roots for Ohio State. And I said, well, dude, I root for Pitt. I really can't root for Penn State. That just doesn't work.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I feel you, man.
So, Okay.
But all anyways, right, thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, brother. This was a lot of fun.
Well, hey, thank you guys. If you ever need anybody else, or you guys just want to talk some NFL, I'm more than happy to come back on.
Yep. All right, we may take you up on that, man.
Awesome, no problem, man. And good luck tomorrow. Hope you guys, hope you enjoy the game. And obviously, we're hoping for a Canes win, but hope you guys do well too.
Hey, we're hoping for a Pitt win, but I'll definitely be in contact, and I'm sure we'll be ragging on each other during that game. Good luck. Right,
have a good one, brother.
Have a great one, you guys.
See ya. Cool, man.
That guy was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Should we talk about our picks?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's embarrass ourselves again.
All right. Okay. So are you doing college picks this weekend?
No. Dude, I would not do well in college picks.
Okay. So let me, I'll go through my college picks real quick. So against my better judgment and against my hatred for them, I'm taking BYU -5 tonight against Houston and the over at 62.5. So I may get struck down by lightning.
Wow. I like it.
Wow. So I'm taking the Storm and Mormons.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Okay, I'm taking Tulane +6.5 against SMU because I bet on SMU earlier in the year and they lost, so it's more just me mad at SMU.
It's a retribution bet. I love it.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. The Tulane Green Wave or whatever the hell they're called. South Carolina +3 against Auburn with the upset. I'm going Canes -10.5 against Pitt. So I don't know if I feel comfortable or confident, but whatever. Tennessee -6 versus Kentucky. Bama -6.5 against UGA. And BC +12 against Vautech. Vautech may be on upset alert, okay? So just keep that in mind. Then let's get to our NFL picks. I'll let you go first.
Okay, so let's see. I have the Carolina Panthers -2.5 over the Chicago Bears. The Bears might make me look bad again this year, but I actually really like this Panthers team. I think they could, get to 9 or 10 wins. Surprisingly, their running back play has been incredible since McCaffrey went out. I love their defense. Robbie Anderson goes over 100 yards every single week. So I'm a big Panthers fan. I like Matt Rhule as the coach. I got the Packers -2 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, the Packers are the best team in the league by quite a bit, actually. I think at least right now they've established themselves that they are quite a bit better than everyone else. And, I think Tampa Bay just might be a little bit overrated. I actually think this should be closer to like a 4-point spread. So then I have the Los Angeles Rams. Who are they playing?
They're playing the Niners.
That's right. I have the Rams -3.5 over the Niners. The Niners don't look good this year. So I know they're really banged up and Aaron Donald is just a beast. So I expect the Rams defense to look good. I have the Washington football team +3 over the Giants. I actually think Kyle Allen might be better than Dwayne Haskins. So, and the Giants are just a train wreck, man. They're so bad.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, are those the picks?
I got two more. So all I got right. Forever. I got the Dolphins -8 over the New York Jets because they're playing Joe Flacco. And they're perfect for each other. Joe Flacco and the Jets. Like, it's a match made in heaven, right?
Just the saddest looking person I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now he's playing for the Jets.
I know. And then I hate betting on the Colts. Actually, why am I doing this? I don't bet on Phillip Rivers. I learned this lesson a long time ago. I don't bet on Phillip Rivers, but okay, I'll do it anyways.
They got a good defense.
Well, and that's why, because I still think Phillip Rivers is like a dumpster fire who can't throw the ball 10 yards down the field anymore. But Joe Burrow and his terrible offensive line against that really, really good Colts defense. I think the Colts will hit him at least 10 times. He'll probably throw a few interceptions, even though I love Burrow. but this is going to be probably his toughest matchup. I think the Colts have the best defense right now. So, I think it'll be a low scoring, you know, probably like 17-6 or something like that. I'm taking the Colts -8 over the Bengals.
All right. I like it. I like it.
Yep. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, taking the Fins -8 against the Jets. That's one. That one's for you, Miami. Also taking the Panthers -2.5 against the Bears. Led by offensive coordinator, South Florida's son, Joe Brady, who was at LSU last year.
Mm-hmm.
And who – what do you think about this scenario? If Manny doesn't work out, we offer Joe Brady the head coaching job for the Canes.
Absolutely, we do that. I would love
it. Oh, that would – He's so great. He's like 30 and he's just cool.
Right. You should interview him and do like a Chris Farley.
Hey, remember that time? Welcome to the Marsh Thomas show. We got Joe Brady, one just a living legend.
Remember that time
you were at LSU and Joe Burrow won the Heisman? Yeah, Marsh, I do. That was awesome. That was so awesome, man. Rest in peace, Farley. Texans +3.5 against the Titans. The Titans are on a short week, and I think with Bill O'Brien getting fired, I think it's lit a spark underneath the Texans' ass. So, or yeah. I hope it has.
You have like 74-year-old Romeo Crennel as their as their interim head coach.
He is so old.
Dude, that I hope that's in a the early kickoff, or he might be asleep before the game's over.
Dude, when he was like an assistant for the Pats in the early 2000s, he was still old as hell. No. He was so old. Yeah, okay, he's
the oldest guy to ever head coach a game in the NFL.
Wait, he is?
Yep. Yeah, he is.
That's insane. Yeah. I'm confident in this. I'm taking my Cowboys +2.5 against the Cardinals on Monday night at home. The Red Rocket, Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can rally around him. I am disagreeing with you on this one. I'm taking the Bucks +2 against the Packers. I'm just a Tom Brady guy. I think he is God in a football uniform. So, I'm going against your Bills. I'm taking the Chiefs -3.5 against the Bills. I think Patrick Mahomes is like the second coming. Yeah. I just love watching him play football, and they're going to try and bounce back after losing last week.
Yeah.
And then obvious, I'm taking the Rams -3.5 against the Niners. So I think I may go undefeated.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
I'm confident.
I really hate that the Bills are playing the Chiefs this week. Because like that Titans game was not – I mean, that was just one of those brain fart games that you need to get out of your system. You know what I mean? Like, nothing went right from the very first drive when Allen throws that perfect ball to, what was it, Davis?
Yeah.
And or it might have been McKenzie. Goes right off his shoulder pads, gets picked, and it was all downhill from there. Like, it just sucks. Like, that's the type of game where you would love to play – like the Jags, you know, the next week, and just be like, okay, yeah, we just, you know, mental errors, we're back on our stride, you know, that kind of thing. It sucks to play the Chiefs, because I mean, I can't pick the Bills to beat the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, the Chiefs are just really, really good. So it sucks that you're gonna have to, you have a brain fart one game, so you lose that, and then you lose two in a row, and now where are you? You know?
Yeah, that
tough draw.
But. That is a tough draw. A little recruiting news I wanted to talk about. Bradley Jennings' little brother committed to Michigan today. He decommitted from FSU like a few hours ago, it seems like. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. But are you telling me that we once again missed on a good linebacker recruit?
Well, what if I don't know if they you know, they're the same kind of linebacker, but what if, you know, now that he's going to Michigan, does that open up a door to maybe flip Jaden Hood?
I don't know. I hope so. But
yeah.
I mean, dude,
we need to get some, like, we need to get, like, time is running out. We need to get I think we're getting Amari Daniels.
Yeah.
I really do. But after that, I did see, did you see that USC offered another 2021 quarterback?
I did. It was a local kid to Utah, actually. Jackson really? Dart. Yeah, he plays for Corner Canyon.
Hey-o!
Yeah, so he is a mission kid, though. So he's going to go on a two-year religious mission. At least that's what the word is right now.
Okay.
So right. I don't know if that affects Jake Garcia as much as we're thinking it does. Because obviously
no, that's real journalism right there. That's good on you.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
So he, you know, he'll count in the 2021 class, but he'll probably, you know, do a 2-year religious mission and then come back and actually start practice in 2023. So, we'll see, you know, but like I say this all the time, you know, Jake's perception is his reality, right? So if he feels disrespected, even if it's not what it looks like, if he feels like, hey, they're continually disrespecting me, that's reality, right? So who knows?
Huh. Well, and you have to think that the USC coaches are like frantically telling Jake, like, he'll be gone for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not set in stone, because I mean, I was looking on I actually did do some journalism for this. I got on BYU Cougar Board, which I have some friends that are regulars on Cougar Board. So I was digging around looking for the status of whether Jackson Dart was going to serve an LDS mission or not. And they said that, like, all indications are yes, but, you know, it's like it's still up in the air, you know.
Okay. All right.
So
all right.
There's a chance he doesn't go. And then it might be weird, you know, because then if USC has three quarterbacks, sure.
Yeah, it's definitely – just like the fact that they would offer another 2021 kid, it has to hint towards something, right?
I agree. I think it's a little strange.
So I'm still holding out that tiniest bit of hope.
Yeah.
Because I really I love the fact that we were able to go into the portal and get a quarterback like Derek King, but I don't want that to become like a yearly routine.
No. And I'm probably going to take a lot of crap for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways, is I think the biggest difference between this team and last year's team is the three leaders that we brought in to the locker room, through the transfer portal and Rhett Lashley. So like, if this team had Nicosi Perry, I don't think we're that much better than last year. I think you'd see a little bit of a boon from like a scheme change, because I do believe in Rhett Lashley, but I don't know, man. like we're really not that much better than last year from a personnel standpoint, you know.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I don't want to just be like, oh, like we're fine with Perry, you know, because we have Rhett Lashley. Like, that's not the case, dude. We just got blanked by Clemson. We scored one touchdown.
True.
You know, like we had a special teams touchdown. Our offense only scored one. Okay. And like we had a tough time getting going against UAB. You know, I mean, we watched that game together in the first half. Our offense did not look that great. So,
we were both like looking at each other like, wait, what?
Yeah. And so that's just my concern, is I actually think that getting a quarterback is a huge priority again, just because, you know, nothing's set in stone. Like Rhett Lashley isn't the cure all. We still need to recruit great players here, because you can still see the talent discrepancy. It's showing through on occasion, especially when we play tougher teams.
Well, if I don't see progress from the wide receivers tomorrow, I'm going to scream.
Well, let's me and you drive down and try out, dude.
Dude, they couldn't handle me.
So I'm 280 pounds right now, and I could get as much separation as Mike Harley and Dee Wiggins. I guarantee you.
It's like our defensive predictions for like this year were like spot on. We were right about Bubba Bolden, right about Gil Frierson, but like our offensive projections, at least some of them, because we both – I at least thought Mike Harley was going to have a big year, and we were both obviously high on D. Wiggins. And
yeah, well,
what the hell?
Yeah, and that's kind of – that goes along with the point that I was just making is – we kind of thought, like, because we did say all season the wide receivers suck, you know, and I think we both kind of just were like, well, D. Wiggins is going to be close to 1,000 yards because someone has to, right? Well, apparently no. Apparently someone. No. Like, they can all be terrible, and they are.
You know? I want to pull up like the stats real quick for the Canes.
I just expected, you know, by virtue of Rhett Lashley being here, I was just like, the numbers will come. Someone has to catch those balls. But apparently no. You know, I think that's where we missed, was that we assumed that because Rhett Lashley was here, that the numbers would just happen, and they haven't.
So, yeah, for right now, Mike Harley has 15 catches. Mark Pope has 10. Cameron Harris has 10, which I didn't see. D. Wiggins has 9. And Brevin Jordan leads the team with 18 catches. Besides Jordan's, receiving production, it's pretty sparse. So Brevin Jordan has 3 receiving touchdowns. Jalen Knighton has 1 receiving touchdown. Will Mallory has 1 receiving touchdown. And the trio of Pope, Harley, and Wiggins has a combined 1 touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, man, is I think that's where we went wrong. We assumed that numbers would just happen, like, and then, you know, because at least in my head, I was thinking, like, you know, Derek King is going to throw for, you know, 3,500 yards this year, so who's going to get it? you know, and I guess no one is popped enough for, like, I don't know. I mean, you can see it. Like, there's no one who just commands attention in the wide receiving core. So
yeah, it's pretty sad. I'm really hoping tomorrow is the Will Mallory game and he is like targeted a lot, because I know Pitt's, you know, weakness on defense is their secondary. So just please exploit that. Don't keep trying to run an inside zone with Cameron Harris. Like, if it's not working, like, please, God, don't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, you know, shout out to our boy Stefan. He's been creating the movement Free Mike Redding. So,
yeah, I really think that's where I am, too. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe sometimes I'm a little too hard on our guys, which I don't want to be. Right. Like, I know that they're young kids and they have feelings and stuff and they're putting in work and stuff, but like at this point I'm over it. I'm over our wide receiving group because there's no production. The optics aren't good. There's no hope for improvement because they're all older. So like, let's
that was
just
so sad sounding.
Like, that, dude, I'm tired of it. You know, I said that me and you could get as much separation. It's because they're getting zero, and so me and you could go out there and get zero. You know, it's not hard to get completely blanketed by somebody. My dead grandmother could do that. So, like, you know.
Yeah, tomorrow this offense, like, It has to bounce back. Like, for the first 3 quarters of against Clemson, the defense was not the reason we were getting destroyed. It was the lack of production from the offense. And this is the kind of game where, Rhett Lashley has to earn that paycheck. You know, how do you bounce back against Pitt has a strong defense. So how are you going to bounce back against one of those teams that is strong defensively?
Yeah.
I'm. Is it bad that I'm like slightly nervous for this game?
No, dude.
I'm not nervous in the way that I think we may lose, but just nervous in the way that I don't know how we're gonna look.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, I have a tendency to be a little bit of a downer. I'm very worried that our offense got exposed, because our offense kind of half got exposed. Like, we should go back and listen to our post game UAB, you know, ranting and stuff, because our offense kind of got exposed. You know, like I was saying, it didn't look great. You know, Cam busted a few big runs, but other than that, like, we really you know, we didn't pop. We didn't look elite.
Yeah.
And then we played FSU and Louisville, who have horrible defenses and looked great. But, you know, we still have some tough games left. We're not playing FSU for the, you know, the remaining six games or whatever.
Yeah. That's a very, very good point. Yeah, that Vautech game and UNC game, and honestly, the Pitt game, it could be a struggle.
It could. And you know, like, I don't know. Our defense is mediocre. It really is. It's not bad.
Mediocre?
Yeah, I think it's mediocre. I don't think it's bad, but it's the worst defense since Manny's been here, and we're going to give up we're going to give up 30 points to Vautech and UNC, like, almost no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, Yeah, we need – I mean, Pitt is –
do you think that we'll be able to hold Vautech and or UNC to under 30 points?
I think we could hold Vautech possibly to under 30 points. UNC is going to be tough, but you never know, like, as the season progresses, what adjustments are made. Yeah. Because, you know, last year they made adjustments, put in Gregory, you know – whatever his last name is, the big guy.
Yeah.
Rousseau, in their middle of the season. And hopefully.
I mean, I want to give our D a little more credit. It's on the better end of mediocre. You know, like, we got stops versus Clemson. They weren't the issue. I mean, did they give up 42 points? Yes. Did they give up enough stops that we should have been competitive in that game? Yes. So credit to them. You know, they kept us hanging in there. Like, they showed up to play a lot more than our offense did. But, I mean, I was thinking that we'd have two elite units this year, and I'm starting to feel like maybe we have zero. I think we have two good units, but not two elite units.
Yeah. I think our special teams unit is pretty good. Yes. So that's good.
Yes. Agreed. And what I mean by that is, like, if you remember, we were saying, dude, we could have a top 30 offense and a top 30 defense. Well, I'm not thinking that we have top 30 either if everyone plays.
Yeah. I think tomorrow's going to be like a huge game in terms of momentum, because if we play the rest of the year like we did the first three games, I think we could have a top 30 offense and defense. But if we allow this Clemson game to continue to beat us for several more games this year, then, you know, we're right back to 2018, 2019.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that I'm just underrating UAB. Like, I just keep thinking back to that game and how, you know, like, they looked like Clemson light. And they really did all the same stuff to us that Clemson did, and it was effective. Obviously, we're just too talented, but, you know, do you know what their record is right now?
I do not.
I'm going to look it up real quick, because
I think UAB's looked pretty good since we've played them. What is it? Let's see. So they're 3-1.
Okay. They beat USTLA. Wait, is that their name?
They beat South Alabama and then TSA, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not the strongest competition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, maybe they aren't that good. I don't know, man.
I still think they might be the second best team we've played this year.
They are, but, I mean, they beat Texas at San Antonio by 8 points, and they beat Arkansas State by 10, or Central Arkansas by 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they're not blowing the doors off people.
No, they're not. Tomorrow's just, it's, you know, we can't overstate it enough. It's a big game. And I know that Pitt's not ranked or anything, but just in terms of confidence and momentum, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's so big. And we need to come out there and just beat the hell out of these guys. Like, we need to do that. We need to, you know, have the players excited in the locker room and the fans excited after the game. I mean, we can't these fans after a loss spend all week. Either you're like the ship is sinking or you're trying to come up with ways to hide the bad.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Besides,
I really just, I don't know, man. This is the game that will determine if we're a team that goes 10-1 or if we're a team that goes 7-4.
Damn it. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you think about it, you know, this is when the schedule gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah. So
this is like Clemson was a wake up call.
Yeah. And it should have been, you know, because yeah. we saw the signs like there was nothing new in that Clemson game. So.
Good point, man. Good point. Yep. Okay. All right, brother. Is there anything else we got to go over?
No, I think we're good. Go Bills.
go Bills. Yeah. Yeah. Big game tomorrow. We will be back on either Sunday or Monday. We're going to get back to the reaction show and, please God, if you're listening to us, please make it a good reaction show. Yep. So, yeah, we will talk to you guys then. We love you guys. And, go Canes as always. Let's get this. Let's get a W.
Okay, go Canes.